Okay, did we see this? And did she share? Not this morning. We might have skipped over it, but I just want to point to this, just to circle back with what Patty just did. This is from the Sistine Chapel, right? And it's the famous scene of God reaching out to us, but we have to reach back. And yes, it's a man, but it just put a woman there instead. Like he's reaching to all of us, and especially us right now. So just good morning, and we're going to start with knowing God's already here. And we're going to start talking about the topic of the fruit of the Spirit of peace. So I tried to really figure out what did God want to say about peace this morning. And what I realized was I can't say everything he'd like to say. So I've had to lower my expectations on how much I can get out to you this morning. We're going to address at least three paths of peace paths, peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves. That's why the star is on the self, because we're going to spend some time on that one. Before we dig in, there we go. Don't you just love the cross? I don't know who the artist was, but it's always been here as long as I've been here, and it's just beautiful. So some of us use this prayer a lot. Maybe you've heard it before. It's referred to as a serenity prayer. So would you join me in saying this prayer with me? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Just that feeling of serenity or peace, let it settle on you right now. I love how Christy uses her lower voice. That's what she did last week. She slowed down her voice. She calmed everyone because she could do that for herself. So that's part of it. As moms, this is off script just by the way. As moms, we can't control everything, nor should we, but we can often turn their heads one way or another and let the neck kind of decide where it's going to lead or follow. And so following you as a spiritual leader in your own homes, you can step up and do that as soon as you feel ready. But you're the mom or grandma already, so you already have a role and a place and a purpose for those things. Okay, so I'm going to mention the first two paths of peace, and then we're going to spend some time on the last one that I was able to dig into. All right, so a little bit about my testimony. I told you, maybe if you weren't here. Okay, so in high school, a friend of mine had a cross on the wall, and it was above the piano, and we were plinking and playing on it, and I was not a Christian. I'm like, what's that? And it was a crucifix with Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just a simple cross. It was like elaborate. And I asked her about it, and then she said, well, if you believe in God, then you get to be a child of God. And I said, oh, I'm already a child of God. My mom tells me so. And she's like, well, you're not until you know Jesus. And I was so thankful looking back at her boldness to correct me as a friend, but also to kind of tell me it's not that hard. You have to just talk to Jesus. So a few years later, I was in high school when I saw this drawing, something like it, and I was at a Billy Graham revival, San Jose State Stadium, full, like lots of people there, event. And I couldn't quite find it online, what was Billy Graham's drawing that he handed out in the pamphlet that night. I did go after it, but it looked something like this. It was simple. It was something a high school student could understand, and yet it's so profound in its meaning, but you can take this with you anywhere you go. It's in your mind, and you can draw it on a napkin for anyone, anywhere, and say, this is the purpose of Jesus's cross. He is connecting us to God without any, we don't have to pay the sin. The wage of sin is death. God is holy. He can't be near sinners. So Jesus is our bridge. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He was not trying to be exclusive when he said that. He is trying to include us in the way that works for God. And so we accept Jesus' death in our lives as he is our Savior. he managed to live through all of that, through the Holy Spirit's power. And that's the gospel, that everybody, anywhere, anytime, any generation can accept Jesus and become saved. Well, I got it that night. I was like, I'm in for sure. So this is peace with God. Jesus did that for us. We just have to accept his gift. Then as we're walking in our lives, we're going to have conflict and we're going to have trouble keeping peace with each other. Sisters, brothers. I had a brother. I still have a brother, sorry. But I was 2 years older and a lot taller, grew faster than he did. He didn't have a chance. We would wrestle and I would always win, and that felt really good to me. And I've had to since make amends for my aggressions against him as a young boy because he really didn't have a chance. And then when I got to be in high school, my dad said, you know, he's going to catch up to you. And then he finally did, and Andy was so excited. He's like, I'm going to get you in the next wrestling match. And for sure, then Dad came in and goes, yeah, but you can't wrestle girls. So he's looking at my dad like, this is so unfair. Yeah, but I have a good relationship with my brother now. He is a very dear person to me. So peace with others. So we have to realize that we have a part in it. I had a part in wrestling my brother. I wanted aggression over him. I wanted to be dominant and win and competitive and that kind of stuff. And then I didn't realize how bad that was for him and for our relationship until later. And I had to take my part to him and say, I've been a really horrible sister to you for a lot of years. I'm really sorry. And I hope you can forgive me, but I will treat you with respect from this moment forward. And we've had a great relationship ever since. So I think he forgave me, although he never said he did. But sometimes he'll tease me about the old days, but we moved on. So that's a sister-brother thing is easy to talk about, but perhaps it's a sister-in-law. Maybe it's a mother-in-law. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's a child. It's harder some of these other relationships that aren't quite so like equal, like sister brother might feel more equal unless there's a huge age gap. But when you have all these other relationships that have expectations in them, that can lead us into conflict too. And so we still have to go back. What is my part? What am I doing? Am I sinning against them in some way that I don't see or that I'm obviously aware of, but I'm not changing? We do want to forgive them. We do want to be forgiven. You all probably know the Our Father prayer. So this is a part of our regular practice as Christians. We definitely look at our part, and we definitely ask for forgiveness from the Lord, but we also ask for forgiveness from others. For me today, I have to pray for my daughter, Sarah, to have a good armor of God on her. And I just became aware of that this morning. And I feel like I owe her an amends. Like, I should have been talking to you about this before now, and it just became aware, so I'm so sorry. Anyway, that's another, I'm so sorry. There you go. Peace within ourselves. Okay, this is where I want to spend some time this morning. I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me here. When we're walking with Jesus, when I was walking with Jesus at first, I was making all kinds of decisions that weren't what he would do now that I can look back on it. I didn't have a mentor, so I would recommend if you're new to the faith, get someone who can speak into your life that you feel like you could be guided by their mature wisdom. But what wrecks our peace? For sure, the world, the flesh, and the devil is what the church says back to us. I just want you to take a moment, think about yourself. What wrecks your peace? Maybe come up with two things. Don't get wrecked right now. You're peaceful right now. Okay, so tell the person next to you what wrecks your peace, please. What wrecks it for you? Thank you. All right. Wind up that sentence. All right, you guys, can I get you back? If you can hear me, snap. All right, good job, you guys. It's always a risk, right? You want to talk, but then how much do we let each other talk? It's a risk. Okay, well, whatever you were able to hear or you said at your tables, hang on to that. You're going to go downstairs or wherever on campus here and go talk about what those things are that start you to lose your peace or really for sure already have. Okay. So Holy Spirit's going to help us with our fruit. As Patty was saying, she chose to pick a piece of the fruit or a social skill that she needs the Holy Spirit to breathe into for her, feeling her feelings, being able to express it. Mine were, my word of the year is, and thank you for that, Cole, is peace. So when this topic came up, I'm like, oh, I should probably do that one. And then the booklet came out, and out of the first page, the seventh one, I think, is having integrity, is keeping small commitments and large commitments. I'm like, oh, well, if they take this on, it's a big commitment. But it also means walking daily with God in a committed way and having integrity. So that's, I'm like, oh, double whammy, I have to do this talk. And okay, so minus peace and having integrity. So if you're following along on your little brown worksheet, tan worksheet, the first one there is peace with God. And the little sketch, you can just do the cross sketch later if you want, because I know you have it in your mind. Then we have peace with others. And peace with others, did you know there's 429 verses in the Bible that tell us more about peace? And I got to pick like three. So if you want to go deeper on this, God will walk with you. The Holy Spirit will empower your interest and say, oh, you want to learn about peace? Come with me. I've got a lot to show you. That's what he's going to say. And I know that because that's what he told me. And he's going to tell you the same. And then the three things that wreck our peace, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And okay, so the world as I would have it, no, they don't do what I want. The world, the government, the roads, the freeways, the sunshine, the weather sometimes. These are the world things that bother me. Earthquakes, oh my gosh, earthquakes were bad for my mom, so we have like this obsession, fear in our house about earthquakes, but I think it's going to be okay, right? The flesh, okay, so I'm hungry, I'm lonely, I'm angry, I'm tired, I'm embarrassed, I feel ashamed, all that feeling stuff in your flesh, but it's more, when they say the flesh, it's more about what the body needs, health, better health, why can't we have these things? So that can be very distracting off of our peace. Chocolate for me. Yeah. You know, better clothing, looking at someone else's home. Oh, I want her couch. You know, stuff like that. That's the flesh speaking to you, right? Like, I want. Or I don't want. St. Paul writes that he's at war within himself. And can you hear the war within yourself too? And if you can't hear it yet, ask God to let you hear it, because it's there. It's going to be there. You just maybe haven't been listening to that. And once you do, once you hear it, you get to do something about it. That's what's good about it, the awareness. And then the devil, okay, this is where the lies come from. And so the lies like, nobody likes you. Everyone else is smart, but not you. Or how could anyone love you? That's a bad one, right? Or you're the problem. No one listens to you. You know, all those whispers, have you heard any of those? Those are the voice of the devil. God does not speak that on you. He speaks, I love you. Can't you see I sent my son to die for you? I love you that much. I paid a huge price to love you. And so those other things are not from him. So without God, let's see, some people try to live their lives without God. In fact, we may know a lot of them. A lot of people try to get their personal peace on their own and their relief on their own, and they do things like drinking, binge watching TV shows, eating comfort food, and we may do these things as well. Gambling, some practice meditation or turn to pornography, even just physical exercise can get to be a point where you're actually doing all of these things into addiction, or someone you know is doing all of any of these things into addiction. And then that's a whole nother battle to fight as well. It's not just a behavior that turns into a lifestyle. And so that's when they're turning to themselves to fix a problem that we were never equipped to solve by ourselves, is living in this planet without God. We were never meant to go on our own. But with God, this is where it's different. For us as Christians, we have problems just like everyone else, but we can respond in an extraordinary way. We can take refuge in the Lord and have his peace. He knows what it's like to live here. Jesus walked our streets, our paths, our dirt. He walked in sandals. He knows what it's like to feel tired. He knows what it's like to have lots of people talking at him and want something from him. Like, we're the moms, right? Mom, I need a snack. I need my homework done. Can you fix this earring? I don't have the right shoes. It's all day long, right? And then your husband comes in and says, what's for dinner? And then you've worked all day too. And oh, by the way, you've got things like that. Like, you know, we're tired sometimes. We're really too tired. And Jesus understands that too. He told us he leaves his peace with us. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Well, I'm a Christian, and I let my heart get troubled, and I get afraid. So what does that mean? I know I'm a child of God, so I have to kind of go back a step, or many steps. I am a child of God. I have to put on my belt of truth. He loves me more than I'll ever know. And in the day of the armor that they're talking about, the belt of truth had the skirt, the fighting skirt on, you know, the Roman skirt, whatever, right? And then the breastplate of righteousness. Well, whose righteousness is that? Is it ours? Do we work for it? Or is it Jesus and he gives it to us? If you've never put on your own armor yet, it's time. Who is Jesus and what is his relationship to righteousness? And then if he's earned that for us, can we not pick it up as a gift and put it on ourselves? That's what protected them from arrows, right? Okay, so that's just a visual, just those two is helpful, but there's more armor to learn about, and if you want to learn more about that, there's some really great Tim Keller sermons all about it, and you can podcast those somewhere. So I get troubled, and I live afraid if I'm not watching my thinking. If I start to see it slip off, I'm like, okay, I'm a child of God, belt of truth is on. And then part of my daily struggle is that I forget that there's also this spiritual battle going on. So I need protection. And the righteousness has really helped me. I really had to struggle with that for a while before I understood what that meant. But then that shield of faith, how do you get a shield of faith? And you have to know where you are in your faith, but then notice that it's not enough. God, I need more faith. I need a bigger shield. So you might need to pray for shield kind of faith. And something that doesn't have as many holes in it, right? Sometimes my shield has Swiss cheese, right? It's not good. But with him, he can strengthen it and help me find the lies and kick those out of my mind. So if I'm going off in a bad direction, I pretty much need to pray because I am like a lost sheep. And guess what? He's our good shepherd. And I've heard it said that sheep are stupid. Like, they do not learn very well or very quickly, but they do know their master's voice. And that's all they really need to be safe. And so I don't have to be a lot. I just have to be aware I've lost my direction because I'm not listening for my master, our good shepherd. So I put the arrow big because he's bigger than any of our problems. And he's going to cover any mountain you're facing, and he's going to help you see it a different way. If it's going to stay in place, he's going to help you see it a different way. If it's going to move, he's going to move it in his time. But either way, your prayer is being heard in heaven. And in Revelation 5:8, it says it lands in a bowl, a golden heavenly bowl where the prayers of the saints go, and they are singing over this bowl. So your prayers are being heard in heaven, even if you feel like it's the smallest, most insignificant prayer you've ever prayed. It's okay. The world will tell you that your prayers don't matter. The world will tell you, oh, your flesh is not right. And the devil will tell you all day long that God's not listening. So you have to be ready for these. It's good to be aware. And those are the things that are going to wreck your peace. So if I want to be at peace, I need to recognize I'm the sheep, he's my master, and I'm going to try to take refuge in him to the best of my ability. But the problem is I don't have very good abilities. So where do I go from there when I'm really, really weak? I have to turn into the Bible, and I have to find scripture that will speak for me because I don't have the words anymore. Psalm 23 is one of the good places to go. You've heard it before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I changed that to not want for anything because sometimes I need this, this, and this. I don't want anything else. He leads me on paths of righteousness. There's that word righteousness again, right? So I need to take him at his word that he's going to lead me into peace. And I have buckets of reasons. I'm telling you right now, I have big reasons to not be in peace. But he has helped me so much to be more peaceful than I ever could have been on my own. And sometimes I'm completely blissful and I don't even know why. Because I'm removed from these three things that are trying to take me to another place. So do you remember in Fiddler on the Roof? This is something that God's been telling me to mention. Remember Tevye, the character? If you haven't seen Fiddler on the Roof, this is a cultural literacy thing. You must go figure out how to watch Fiddler on the Roof. But it's told from a Russian farmer, 1900 perspective. And he's Jewish, and he goes out and he does his work with his wagon, doing whatever his wagon work was. But he's talking to God all the time. And I saw that play musical when I was probably 12 or 13. And I've always thought, oh, you can talk to God anywhere, anytime. It's never been a problem for me to just, like in the grocery store, okay, God, what are we shopping for? You can pray anywhere. And the more you do, the more you're actually walking with Jesus. He's in the Safeway with you, right? Because why wouldn't he be? Tevye thought so. And that was, this is a generation or two before us saying, you can pray to God anywhere. And so I encourage you to do that. I love to. I'm in my car, I'm praying, I'm singing, and then I get out and I'm like forgetful, I'm a lost sheep. I'm kind of getting mad at somebody over there. And then, I hear you, call me back. Right? We forget. The more you decide to take refuge in him and whatever he has planned for you, then you can let go of the control of the freeway people who aren't driving right. And, you can let go of the diagnosis that didn't go right. That's the heavier one, right? Like freeway, whatever, but diagnosis, big time. But even in that, there is so much that is meant for us to learn, and it's not always in the easy stuff that he wants us to experience. He wants us to experience a rich life. And if it was all easy, you'd go, well, what was all that? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. That's amazing. And that was Joshua. That was right after Moses. If you don't know where Joshua fits in, like I didn't know where he fit in the story till I read that. The whole Bible at one point, and I'm like, oh, he followed Moses. That's pretty cool to know. We have to trust God much more deeply to allow his presence within us to really seep into us, to be guiding us. We have to let go. Otherwise, we're still trying to be in control, and we're still trying to do, we're trying to do this battle without him, is what that is. Okay, so a little talk about chicken and the egg. With a parent role or a grandparent role, you're going to have to manage feelings at some point. And therapists will tell you, well, you can have your feelings. And I've listened to a lot of therapy. I've been to a lot of therapy. And feelings are big and good. God gave us feelings. David writes in the Psalms all about how he's so mad about this or he's so upset about that. Big feelings, ugly feelings, right? Did the thoughts cause the feelings, or did the feelings cause the thoughts? Which one goes first? And I've researched that this last month, and there's jury's out. Some say it's definitely the thoughts, and they'll create feelings. As you know, if you have a bad thought, it's going to create a bad feeling, or it'll tap into bad feelings you've already had just kind of waiting there. And other people say, well, the bad feelings happen because of trauma in our youth, and they're still waiting there, and then all of a sudden they get triggered, and now you're thinking about it. So, like, well, at the end of the day, does it matter which came first? We got to take care of both of them, right? So you lift both up to God. God, my thoughts are not good right now. I'm having evil thoughts. I'm thinking she should die. No. You know, like, I don't like how she did that. I don't like how she talked to me. I don't like how it feels. The thinking and feeling is so mapped in together. Can you really separate one from the other and say this came first and this came second? Some people can do that because maybe they're not feeling their feelings like some of us do feel our feelings first, like me. I feel it first and then I try to figure out what was I thinking. But sometimes I'm just feeling big feelings. It doesn't matter. God's bigger than all of that. And then what else was I trying to get here? Okay, Christian practice. Negative thinking can interrupt our peace. So the more you are aware of that thought, you can try to decide, is this a flesh thought? Am I envious? Am I jealous of that person and that's why I'm thinking this? Or is it that I'm thinking it from a devil perspective, this evil kind of lurking kind of negativity about me personally? That's, once you start hearing those, you can do something about it. But as grandparents and mothers, there's even more we can do. I'm part of a Moms in Prayer group, and we take scripture, and we put our child's name in the scripture to claim that scripture for that person, for that purpose. And that's how you can use the Word of God. And so that's your sword of the Spirit. Your armor gets stronger by doing that. So I just read to you John 3:16, for love, for God so loved, I'll do my daughter, Sarah, that he gave his only begotten son so that Sarah could believe in him and she would not perish but have eternal life. So if I'm worried about my grandkid who's not knowing the Lord yet, I can pray that for them every day until it happens. Philippians 4:7 says, peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard. And my husband's name is Peter, so I could put Peter's heart and mind. It will guard his heart and mind. Therefore, now is no condemnation for maybe your mother-in-law, right? Name who is in Christ. I'm soon to probably become a mother-in-law. I think he's going to get through the proposal in a week or so, and then I will have that position in the family, and I don't really know a lot about that. All I know is what the world would tell me. I want it to be a godly relationship, so I'm working on that with prayers for her, my little new daughter in love, as Jennifer Wines would call her. So there's no condemnation, right? If we give up control and let Jesus do the leading, then we have to know what his truth is. And the more you know what the scriptures say, the more equipped you are to deal with these things. When your kid in middle school says, ah, everyone hates me, I'm so upset, I'm not wearing the right clothes, then you can use, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Pour your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Teach them that the first love of their life is God. And then teach them that the love of their friends comes second. Because otherwise they're basing their reality and their identity on what their friend's opinion is of them without knowing the belt of truth that God loves them more than they could ever know. They have to know that first to be risk takers with the whole middle school thing. I'm convinced there's a lot of evil happening at the middle schools, and these children are not trained well, and yet they're all together. And so in your mind, also march 7 times around that school of worry in your mind, like Jericho style, and claim that space for heaven's work, and that angels protect those kids. These are things we can do as mom. We can overly pray for people. And could we ever overly pray? But we could try to, right? Like that reaching picture in the beginning. We have to try. Okay, so what else? I've talked a little bit about the armor. This is a cool graphic, I think, because it has the words in each part of the armor. It's online. You can find it. I didn't cite the source here. Sorry, I'm a little bit off there. These are some thinking traps that Sherry notices in her communications class. And these are the kind of traps that if we or our children, we can see it in others probably more easily, but overgeneralizing is coming to a conclusion based on one experience. This is a middle schooler's life, right? And one person's comment about their shoes means they can never wear those shoes again, right? And so teach them that's what overgeneralizing means, and it's a trap. You're not giving yourself enough freedom here. You're giving yourself a trap. Mind reading, you guys know what that is because we're all here. Assuming you know someone else's thoughts or feelings, you can just ask open-minded questions instead and say, how are you feeling? But it's usually about the kids, teaching kids they can't read their mind. If the kid had a frowny face toward me, they don't like me is what they think. But it could be that that kid just stubbed his toe. So there's other explanations, right? Filtering, just remembering the negative of a bad experience, calling it a bad experience because you just focus on the negative. We all do that. I don't know why. I think we all do that. But noticing it is a good idea. Catastrophizing, oh, the worst is going to happen. Personalizing things, this is my worst downfall, I think. Taking things personally no matter what is like, for some reason, I have like that magnet of not only just catastrophizing it and filtering it and like I'll put all of that in one bag and just make it mine. And that's something I have to undo. I have to learn, oh, I just did it again. I took it personally. So I've got a little saying, it's called Q-tip, quit taking it personally. Yeah. And then perfectionism, that's something that we are all familiar with. It's just mostly when you know you're not, when you don't know you're a sinner, just from the get-go, then perfectionism can be a filtered in thought from the media. They're going to say, oh, you're just trying to be perfect, or like that's a bad thing. God asks us to be very holy and as holy as we can be, right? So where's the balance between a healthy urge to do what he wants and be clean versus trying to do it on our own? And I think the difference is trying to do it on our own without God's help, whatever we're doing. So as Christians, we humbly try to let go, let him reset the joy and love in ourselves with his power through the Holy Spirit. And we still were willing to work on ourselves, or willing to see our defects, willing to see where we can grow with God's help, with the armor of God, against the flesh, the devil, the world, because we're with God, so we can put our armor up. Finally, this is where I'll probably wrap up right here. Sing. This, if you're not used to praying with scripture like I was telling you about earlier, you can just learn some of the new songs on the radio that are based on scripture. And take me at my word is one of the phrases I got from one of the songs, because I sing these songs. Somebody Prayed is a really good one by Crowder. And it just encourages us to pray. So look up the lyrics for that. The hard-fought hallelujah, that means I'm going through storms and I'm still saying hallelujah. You're still my God. I don't know why I'm going through this storm, but I'm going to stand here and help. Wait till you help me with this, or I see that you already are. How about this one? The verse at the bottom, is it there? It's hard for me to see it. Yeah. So how about this? You keep her, I changed the pronoun there. You keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because she trusts in you. So if you feel you're being led somewhere else, that's a perfect one. Like, God, you're my God. You keep me in perfect peace, whose mind, I'm keeping my mind stayed on you, and I trust you. And then just say that until you feel differently. The feeling will change. All right. So this is the famous quote in Philippians. The peace that transcends understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds. You have to learn to guard your heart. You have to learn to guard your mind. You have to start listening to your mind. If you haven't listened to how you think, that's a new skill for you. That's a good thing to do. Now you'll get more aware about where your trips are and where the traps are. So this is how heavenly peace works. You give up control. You listen better. You pray back your feelings. You ask God for help. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've already overcome the world. This is Jesus. John 16:33. That's on the next slide. Oh, that's it right there. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. He created peace for us. With God, he can help us, equip us to have peace with others and even within ourselves. And how do we do that? It's in me. Did you catch it? He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me. It's not hidden. It's all about him. Okay. So there we are. That's it, you guys. Thank you.